Easily. All teams suck right now.
So at the same time that the U of M is debating having a football season, Ohio State is trying to figure out whether or not to completely fill the stands. When do these decisions need to get nailed down for the Big Ten?
Sooner than later, because these are big, complicated machines, and you don't just flip a switch at Labor Day and have football the next week. You've got to get trainers, equipment, tape, food, you name it. That's all for July practice. So it's got to be done pretty soon, I think, probably the next few weeks. And you have noted that Ohio State is taking a different approach than Michigan is. Yes.
Well, they are in a different place in terms of just number of COVID cases and everything. But still, I mean, do you think the differences between, these different habitats for COVID-19 around the Big Ten can be reconciled?
I really don't know. And you raise a great question there. Now, look, Ohio has done better than Michigan has with the rates, as I understand it. And of course, they're going back to practice June 8th. The state of Michigan does not open again till at least June 12th. So, and these disparities are going across the nation, obviously. Nebraska will be in much better shape to have football, obviously, than, say, UCLA or USC. So there's going to be a great disparity across the nation as to who responds and how.
On a somewhat related note, Coach Harbaugh sent out a 2-page player's manifesto, as he called it, a couple of weeks ago. He had some things to say on a more macro level about eligibility for college players in the NFL and maybe what the colleges owe players that are such an important source of revenue. Did you see him saying anything Vanguard?
What was Vanguard about it was that it came from a Power 5 head coach. And you'll notice the crickets that have followed since then. Not one other coach has come on board with Jim. Almost everything he described seems like to me, common sense. But they don't necessarily benefit the coaches. They benefit the players. Jim is also the guy who came across with what should be called the Harbaugh rule, but it's not. The one-time transfer without any explanation, no fake doctor's notes and so on, to transfer anywhere you want without explanation, without sitting out a year. And that has since been adopted. Now, Jim is not beloved by many of his fellow coaches, so they're not going to call it that. But these rules he's proposing greatly empower the student athletes. And that does get kind of back to President Schlissel's point. It's pretty hard to ask them back on campus when you don't have the other students on campus either. So this might create a conflict there.
Maybe it's the perfect time to discuss larger scale changes like this. I don't know. Go ahead.
By the way, on that point, I agree with you strongly. Rahm Emanuel, the old mayor of Chicago, of course, and one of Clinton's. Rahm Emanuel, the former mayor of Chicago, had mixed reviews as the mayor, but he had a great line, never waste a great crisis. And in this case, you've got an opportunity here to create some real lasting reforms in college athletics, thanks to the situation that might occur that would not occur otherwise. So here's a chance.
Yeah. Among other things, Harbaugh suggested that any player who entered the NFL draft and was not drafted should be allowed to return to college. Do you think if the NCAA went for that, that would be a widely used provision?
There are about 30 or 40 players every year who declare for the draft who don't get drafted. And then they're screwed because in the NCAA rules, once you've declared for the draft, it's a one-way street. You can't go back. And this is how crazy that is, April. In hockey and baseball, anybody good on campus has already been drafted, and they can decide for themselves to take that offer or not. So it's a total double standard in basketball and football versus baseball and hockey, which shows you the NCAA is not built on principles, but expedience.
Hey, speaking of the hockey game, we just learned that the NHL is going forward with plans to resume its season. When it does, the teams are going to move straight back into the playoffs. Who got shortchanged in that decision?
I would want to say the Red Wings, but they're not even good enough to get that close. So not them. Who got shortchanged? The teams that have already had a great season after 60 games. It's now pretty much everyone's equal who's in that playoff now. So it will be seeded, so the better teams will get a shot that way. But some of their good work will be kind of washed away. But it's not a bad plan overall. It's probably a pretty good idea. So they're going to try to finish the current season this summer, basically, and then go back to another season in the fall.
I got a little freaked out when I was looking at the plan, realizing the consequences of Canada's health policies. They've got a 14-day quarantine in that country. Any team wanting to cross the border to play has this waiting period because of COVID. John, what does this mean? Is the league going to have to pick its hub cities, and then everyone's just going to have to move a base of operations to those places?
That's what they're talking about doing. They've got 8 candidates for hub cities, and they're going to pick 2 of them, they say. I don't know how you can't pick one of them in Canada, since it's their sport and so many teams are there, of course. But the flip side is what you described. Now, knowing the Canadian government, and I've had some experiences with them, watch them make an exception for about 200 hockey players. So,
wait, but it's not just the players. It's also their whole entourage, the teams and the coaching staff and everything, right?
That's true, and you're going to shrink the entourages, is my guess, which might not be a bad idea anyway. The expense of all this is crazy, of course. But I have a hunch Ottawa will look kindly upon hockey resuming.
Do you think that the league can actually start its regular season as scheduled in October?
Man, I'm not sure if any of this is going to work. If you're playing tennis, that's one thing. If you're playing hockey or football, I'm sorry, 6 feet of separation is not very likely, unless you're the Red Wings, of course. Or the Lions, for example.
Sorry. Harsh.
I don't know how you can do this. I really don't know how you can do this. And look, all it takes is one guy to show up positive for that test. And the last 14 days, you know, his contact list is the entire league. Yeah, I don't know how you do it.
Yeah. Boy, all this talk of team sports. Who's looking smart for getting back to his running career now?
Is that what we're calling it?
I guess. Hey, man, you did the Boston Marathon.
I did the Bake-O-Thon, the substitute, of course, around town from my parents' house to my current house. But I did lose 30 pounds. And yes, all my rinks are closed. So your husband and I can no longer play hockey right now. So thank God for running. It's the only game in town.
So let's play this out a little bit. What sports could you envision resuming? What about golf? Major League Soccer's been talking about trying to hold some in-person games as well.
Golf is the easiest by far. As you can tell, we can be on the golf course for 5 hours and have no idea how many kids you have. So it's a low contact sport, to say the least. So that one can be done. Tennis can probably be done. Depends on how they handle the tennis balls. But football and hockey, I mean, that is, you know, ultimate contact. And yes, sweat and spittle and all the rest get thrown around. So I don't know how you can do those sports.
What do you think about baseball's chances of coming back this year?
Better than hockey and football, based on the fact that it's virtually non-contact. That helps a lot. Basketball is going to try to bring all the teams to Orlando, Florida, and put them on a campus there. They're all going to be tested accordingly and have it basically quarantined in Orlando and have the whole season in Orlando. That's pretty crazy, but it might work.
John, we learned recently that Japan has decided Tokyo is going to try to host a revival games edition of the Olympics. I mean, given the size of what it takes to pull off regularly scheduled Olympics on a timetable that is practically a decade long, do you think this is just going to completely fritter the Olympic movement as we know it?
It's been under duress for a while anyway, but yes, this could really, really impact it. We're used to seeing them every 2 years now, of course. And like you say, if college football is complicated, it is nothing compared to an Olympic Games. And I've covered those. That machine has to be humming 6 years in advance at least. So that will be the hardest of all the things to resurrect.
Sports commentator John Eubacon. He is the author of numerous books, including but not limited to The Great Halifax Explosion, a World War I story of treachery, tragedy, and extraordinary heroism. John, good talking to you.
Always, April. Thank you.